Hello and welcome back to the Powered by Football podcast, your favourite Power Chair football podcast hosted by Jackson Taylor. We have got a very exciting episode for you today. We are going to be talking about the awards show that was presented a couple weeks ago now. It's what, just over a week at the time of recording. And that was hosted by myself and Hills United's Matt Mallows, who joins me today for this episode. Matt, how are you going?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. The weather's warming up, which means I'm actually kind of almost out of my jumper. Wild, I know.
A surprise to literally anyone who's ever met you, Matt. That's insane.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
So before we get into the, you know, awards themselves and cover all of that, how do you think the show went, like the our part of the awards went?
I think it went all right, considering that we both turned up, didn't know what was going on, and as per usual, I would say, just kind of went up to Jason and were like, hey, when can we do our awards? And he was like, yeah, sure, do it now, if you want. It's like, yeah, okay, sure, we can do that now.
I think we should, you know, further emphasize the lack of preparation that we went in to this with. I had like no notes. Mm-hmm. Like we
did not. No, I didn't have any either. I forgot who won half the awards.
Yeah,
I had to like whisper to you, oh, what awards next? Because I got no clue. It's like, and you were just like, oh, I don't know. It's like, oh, great.
Yeah, we you know, we run a tight ship here at the Powered by Football podcast.
Absolutely.
It was definitely a fun night, fun presentation. I got a lot of good reception, a lot of people complimenting, especially our chemistry in our presentation, Matt. And I can now confirm this just in, hot off the press, that Matt has agreed to try out, you know, doing the episodes with me in next season. So
yeah,
we're going
to
be.
So unfortunately, guys, you will have to listen to me a little more than you'd like.
We've also had just in that the downloads have gone down by a lot. So,
that's really just happens to coincide with the end of the soccer season. Wow, shocking.
Yeah, not yeah, that's it. So,
it's definitely 100% my fault.
Yeah,
my apologies, guys.
Wow, Matt, I'm so disappointed in you, man.
Already getting fired.
Yeah. Wow. Well. Now that Matt's been fired, we can go into the stuff that really matters, and that is the awards themselves. So we're going to just go through the night chronologically, talking about each winner and any other fun stuff that we think is necessary to be brought up. So the first thing that we did before we even got to the awards was we had this little brief where we went through some numbers, talked about download numbers, voting numbers. For those of you who don't know, it was 35 votes for the awards, which is 2.5 times last year, which was absolutely amazing. We currently sit, I believe, on 1,943 downloads for the podcast all time. I don't know what it is just for this year, to be honest, but that, you know, has grown significantly this year. Matt went in to speak about Abs's goal scoring tally. It was 100,
yes.
Right?
It is at, let me get it up. I have it here. I'm very well organized. I believe it's 106.
Yeah, well, whatever it was a very high tally for such an esteemed player.
Ones?
Yeah, well, the reserve grade ones don't help.
Yeah, it's 106.
106 goals, an amazing tally.
He scored since 2015.
Yeah. So that's definitely
I hope that's right.
I hope so too. But that was what we sort of covered at the start of the presentation. We then moved on to the underrated player of the season. So this was a tie. This was both Alyssa Galea and Riley Brown winning the vote. So that was an amazing achievement for both of them to win this award. Matt, I'll ask you first about Alyssa. What do you think, like, what did most of the competition not see? Obviously, you're on the inside with Hills, so you get to see a lot of training and stuff. What makes you think she deserves this award?
I think it's mainly just how much she progressed, because realistically, up until, well, she'd only ever been in a sports chair a couple of days at Mount Annan. So like the days that Jason has been graciously hosting and doing a wonderful job of running. So she'd never actually properly played a game of powerchair football until this year. So the fact that she, you know, progressed so fast, so quickly, was probably what a lot of people saw, which, I mean, it's very difficult to actually get her to do drills because she is 11. And for those of you who know what 11-year-olds are like, all the parents at home, they tend to do what they want and not what they need to be doing. So eventually, when she realized that she'd get better at playing by actually doing the drills, she got on board, which was good. And yeah, she improved tremendously throughout the season, and she'll only get better next year with a year under her belt. And I'm looking forward to watching how well she plays in a couple of years' time.
Yeah, I think I was really happy when I saw her name going up and up in the votes this year, especially because we train right after you guys, so I do get to, you know, train with her a bit and hang out on that little overlap because I'm always there stupid early. But, you know, mm-hmm. I was really happy to see her get that. And moving on to the other winner of this award, Riley Brown. What a season. 28 goals, I believe. Yeah. What was, like...
28?
Mm-hmm. I don't know how many assists, but it was a lot. And
I can
tell
you.
Go find that for me, Matt.
With my stats, if anything on my laptop will actually open, that'd be great.
Oh, yeah, that'd be
I believe
great.
Also he is now currently the reserve grade player who has scored the most goals
of all time.
Over the history of the reserve grade comp. Which, I mean, when you score 28 goals in a year, that tends to happen. Yeah, he's on 35 goals total. Before this year, he was on 7. So that tends to be what happens.
Yeah.
He actually pipped you.
I don't love that, Riley. I am not happy with you, man. I used to be happy, man.
Well, you didn't actually know that you were top goal scorer ever in reserves.
I know, but I used to be happy.
Okay, fair enough.
So, but while we are on Riley, I think we should just talk a bit about his season and about his achievements. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, he obviously wanted that 30-goal tally. That was something that I still feel guilty about because I was the first one to ask him when I was interviewing him, you know, what's your target for the season? He said 30, and then, you know, he's said it in everything he's ever done. You know, he had the interview with Sydney FC at the gala night, and he talked about 30 goals, and, you know, he didn't make it, unfortunately, and I felt bad. But, yeah, I feel bad that he didn't hit the goal that I helped him set, but it's still an amazing achievement for Riley, I think. I'm so happy for him to win this award, and it will not be the last time we talk about Riley in this episode, because he shows up a couple more times.
He shows up a couple of times, yeah. Yeah.
So let's not dwell on Riley too long. Otherwise, you know, this episode is going to be tripled in length because we have to do it 3 times or 4 more times, whatever. Mm-hmm. We move on to the underrated player of the season in the Premiership. And another one of your teammates, yep. Matt, Asim.
Yep.
So same sort of question as what I said with Alyssa. You know, what's sort of happening behind the scenes with the team that you think makes him deserve this?
So he came to us at the beginning of the year having played bits and pieces of Premier League football. So this was the first real year where he basically played every minute of every game almost, like a lot of our Prem players had to. So, I think it was just a lot of people hadn't really seen what a 40-minute Prem's performance from a sim could look like, and now they have. I mean, he's a fantastic player. He's always willing to learn. He's always asking me questions about what I can do better and you know, what should I have done here and there, which is something you absolutely want out of an up and coming player, or someone who's always willing to learn and always willing to take any kind of lesson on board. And I think that's shown in his performance. He's been he steadily got better and better every game throughout the year. He figured out that not only is he not supposed to leave the post when we're defending, but he also has to run the post as well. Which is something we worked on. Well, multiple people had to work on, myself included. He played a lot of defense, so being that kind of middle up front player was very new to him, and it came with a lot of, not necessarily growing pains, but just kind of figuring out where he needs to be positioned and that kind of thing. And I think he caught on to that very quickly and did a very, very good job for us for the year. Certainly saved my a couple of times when it came to not conceding some goals.
Yeah, so he's definitely, you know, had a really good season. I myself did enjoy playing against him and struggle playing against him. So, you know, really happy for him to be getting that award. Moving on to the SAP player who's developed the most, and we have our first return award winner in Alyssa Galea. She shares this award too, this time with Tarek Brown. There's not as much to say about Alyssa that you've already covered, Matt, because I think you said most of it. Is there anything else you want to add about this award for her before we move to Tarek?
Not really, other than the fact that, I mean, she improved tremendously, and I think that's evident in the fact that she took out both this award and the reserve grade award.
Yeah, definitely, and I think, you know, the same can be said about Tarek Brown, who's also won this award with Alyssa. What you know, what did you see growing in him this year?
Well, I saw a very enthusiastic young player who is you know, just eager to get on the court for even, you know, a couple of minutes. He doesn't care how much time he gets, and he's always happy whenever he's on there. And really good, because I think he scored a couple of goals this year.
Yeah,
it was really good watching him celebrate when he scored. So no, he's he'll be a good player if his brother is anything to go off currently. So,
yeah, he's definitely
looking forward to that.
His passion and his excitement is just unmatched on the court, and it's definitely a massive thing that helps him in growing as a player as well, which is what got him to this merit. And on the note of passion, we are aging up from Tarek to his brother Riley. As Riley, his second award was for the most passionate player in the championship. And honestly, he's a very passionate player. There's not much more to say about it, really.
Very animated. I mean, there's a lot of people in Premiership Championship that were very animated. So you had Riley, Fletcher for Sydney FC as well.
Tarek.
Tarek.
I think Alyssa would have been a good shout.
Yep, Alyssa. Once she realized she scored, she was very animated. You for the Wanderers.
Ruby as well, I think, St. George.
Ruby, yep. Ruby was very passionate.
And Kai for Newcastle, we reckon.
Kai for Newcastle. So, yeah, a lot of very passionate players. So
there's not much more to say, is there, really?
There's
enough said
really
about Riley, you know, and we're going to have to keep going because I believe he's got one more after this still. So, yeah, I think we're going to head on over to the most passionate player in the Premiership, which was Joshua Ryan of Sydney FC also. And he's a passionate guy, all right, I'll tell you that.
Definitely led from the front. Definitely led from the front. He is a captain.
I don't know if they have like a set captain. I believe they kind of just do their thing.
Fair enough.
That could be wrong.
He always did the coin toss, so I'm going to assume he was probably captain.
Yeah.
But yeah.
The microphones.
Very loud. The microphones help. I would encourage anyone who can't yell to get a microphone. They are fantastic.
I think, you know, one one sort of thing that I think with Josh that definitely helped him winning this award is that, like, his passion isn't a 40-minute thing. You know, you can feel his passion for this sport in every conversation you have with him. And I think that is, like, you know, enough people notice that to vote for him and give him this merit. So I'm really happy for Josh and for winning this award. So, yeah, good on you, mate, for being passionate. And moving on to the moments of the season, this is one that I was really happy for because it was a rare Wanderers win that, you know, didn't really happen that often. And it was Levi Carrero's hat-trick in round 20 against the Newcastle Jets. And this was, I don't know if you were there, Matt, for this game, but this was an amazing...
I don't remember. One would assume I probably was, because if you were playing in it, I was probably doing notes.
I was not playing in it last time I checked.
Well, playing in it or on the bench getting ready for Premier League. I was normally taking notes, doing all the grunt work, obviously.
Yeah. So this game, just to give a bit of context, the Wanderers beat the Jets 5-1 and Levi scored... Well, arguably he scored four, but one of them, I believe, went down as an own goal. But, you know, for such a young player to, you know, stand up for his team when you had myself being ruled out with the game count rule that was introduced this year to the championship, Jonathan Reyes also being counted out. So you had a younger, less experienced Wanderers side. And for Levi to step up at such a young age, at I believe 9 years old, and score three was absolutely phenomenal. So,
yep. And if my stats are correct, which I like to think they are, he did score his first goal this year. I don't know if it was in that game, but he did score his first goal this year in the championship. So, congratulations to you.
No, his first goal was a few weeks before that. And that was me assisting him from a free kick, I believe.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I, you know, just to go on a quick tangent, I still remember this because it's funny. I remember telling him what to do, and my gut was like, why are you doing that? That's not a good idea. And then I just hit it anyway, and it worked. I was just like, sure. I shouldn't trust my gut then because it worked. But, you know.
Fair enough. Look, if it works, it works.
It worked. So, yeah, you know, happy for Levi to win this award. He wasn't there to receive his medal, so we're going to be getting that to him as soon as possible. And for the moment of the season in the Premiership, we did not have a medal. Rather, we had a certificate because this was a team accomplishment instead of a player accomplishment. This was a big one. This was Sydney's round 6 defeat of the Newcastle Jets. So that was 18 months, was it, Matt?
I'd have to get back to you on that one. I believe roughly it is. In fact, if you give me 2 seconds, I can look it up now. Yeah, I believe it was 18 months because I believe last year they were undefeated. The year before they weren't. So yeah, it would have been, excluding club championships, it would have been 18 months at least for the regular season since they had lost.
So regardless, an amazing achievement by this up-and-coming, well, I say up-and-coming Sydney FC side, they're already punching, they're going absolutely amazing, especially this year with how much they've grown their kids into, you know, professional, like, you know, more mature athletes. So a 2-1 defeat in round 6 saw them get the certificate for the moment of the season in the Premiership. Yeah, moving on to what I would say is my personal favourite part of the whole night, of the whole presentation, Matt. I don't know about you, but the... The reception of presenting Michael Suffield with the coach/volunteer/referee of the season award with the photo that didn't fit his entire body into the frame due to his height.
Yes. Now, like I said, I was just in charge of the photos. Okay. So before anybody blames me for any spelling errors, it was a team effort with the photo. I think I suggested it. I was like, hey, what if we did this? Do you think it would be funny? And you were like, yeah, we kind of have to, don't we? So,
and then it was already his photo on his Facebook
banner. And then, yeah, I had to actually click on his photo banner to get the full photo because it chops it off. It actually chops his head off on his Facebook as well. So thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
I did afterwards get Chris Offield being like, hey, why didn't you just like message me? Because I have access to all of the photos taken throughout the year. And I'm like, you know what? My memory is not fantastic. And whoops, that's all I can say. But the photos will be a lot better next year.
They are going to be so good. So, yeah, I think that was a real fun moment for me. Now, moving on to the goal of the season, I'm going to quickly address just what happened with the goal of the season first before we get into it proper. I kind of thought it'd be fun to show the top three, but
yes,
I didn't time any of it. I'm going to be completely honest.
Yeah, we did not practice this slideshow in the slightest. We literally got up and did it that day. So we had no idea how long it would be.
So I hate to be cutthroat, but if you have the second best goal of the season next year, you ain't seeing it.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry, guys.
Next year we're cutting second and third from goal of the season.
We can probably still post the video.
Yeah, like, that's true. We can do that. But
post the videos
in the presentation. Whilst I can't show videos because this is a podcast and that is audio, there was a tie for second place in the goal of the season in the championship that went to both Alyssa Galea of Hills United against Sydney FC. That was a really nice goal that just saw, it was a ricochet to go in. That was an Asim assist, if I remember correctly.
That was an Asim assist. So it was quite good.
Yeah, so that...
All the goals were very good.
Of course, that was a nice goal that was definitely, due to the pace of it, surprising the Sydney defense to get it in.
Yeah.
The other goal that got second place, which is the one that I voted for, because, you know, even though it is my awards presentation, I still do vote.
I also voted.
So I voted for Jesse's goal that got second in the end against the Newcastle Jets.
I don't remember which one I voted for, I'm going to be entirely honest.
Yeah, that's completely fair.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember. So I just kind of was like, yeah, that one. That one sounds about right. To be fair, we went through. So I.
Oh yeah, we should go through this. Yeah.
So, Jax, being the loving host that he is, decided that I was going to be in charge of both categories for goal of the year, which meant watching every single goal scored this year and picking out the ones I think were contenders. I think I managed to narrow it down to about 15 for both grades, which considering how many goals were scored across both grades this year was pretty good. It took me a while to do that.
Yeah.
And then I sent them to Jax, and Jax was like, okay, we'll get rid of these ones, but honestly, I can't cut it down to 8. And I said, all right. So we hopped in a VC call and spent like...
It was like an hour or two.
Probably like an hour or two, yeah. Trimming it down to 8 that we agreed with were goal of the season contenders before going to votes. And it took me all day to go through both grades, I think.
Mm.
And
which I definitely think is something now that we have the foresight, because this is the first year that we did goal of the season. I didn't do it last year. I think now that we know that we're going to do it next year, that maybe we just sort of mark down, you know, every week what we think might be in there, and that might make it a bit easier for us come the end of the season.
For those of you who don't know, me, Jax, and Dimitri run the YouTube channel. So Jax and Dimitri edit all the games, like do the graphics and all that. And it's my job to go in and clip out all the goals every week and also run the shorts channel or run the shorts aspect of the YouTube channel. So
did you just want to explain like to the audience what you mean by clipping out the goals? Because that's kind of like a lingo jargon sort of thing.
So I go through every game. I think there were a couple of games where I either forgot or the clips didn't save and Dimitri went through. And I go through every single game each week and make a clip of every goal that is scored in every game. So that's what I do every Monday morning, I think.
Around then. Monday morning. Whenever they're uploaded.
Shout out to Byron, who does a fantastic job uploading them. And I think there's a couple of other people who also would upload them, because it's mainly whoever takes the camera home, but I'm pretty sure most weeks it was Byron. So shout out to Byron for that again.
I'm going to add on to that tangent just because I find it interesting, and I'm going to, you know, dump all this info on everyone else. But the way that we've been doing it, at least the last season, is that the videos that you see on YouTube usually come out about Tuesday, Wednesday time, give or take. But they get uploaded to the VO, which is the platform that the cameras run off, about the Monday, which is what Matt said. I chuck them into Adobe Premiere, which is what I also use to edit this podcast that you're listening to. And then I use that and a bit of Adobe After Effects to make the timer. And I use that to make the timer go up, make the goals change, all that sort of stuff. And that's how all that works. I think that's enough of a tangent, Matt. I think we ought to go back to the awards now. Jesse's goal, we started talking about that, but didn't really finish it on that one. So that goal, from memory, you can watch it again if you'd like, but it's a goal that he scored from a very tight angle, and he shot when I honestly would have passed, and he was just able to sneak it past the Newcastle defense, doing really well, especially considering his situation, being a person who drives with a head array rather than...
I don't know how he does it, but...
Oh, man.
Good Lord.
He broke his leg with the head array, I remember, a long time ago. Because obviously he broke his leg because of the head array. I think he was in like year six or something, because his head got sweaty, and then it thought that the sweat was driving the chair, like the chair interpreted
sweat
as him pushing it, and then it ran him into a wall and it broke his leg. So they're not perfect, those head arrays, and he does go through it with that, but boy, does he make do. He had, I would argue, he had his best season this year of every year he's been playing. So I think he had two or three goals. He got an assist on the board this year for the first time. And an amazing year and an amazing goal from Jess. But, you know, he did not win this goal of the season. That was won by our favourite friend in this awards show, Riley Brown. And we apologise if you've taken a shot every time we've said Riley Brown. I'm so sorry.
Please don't do that. We do not promote alcoholism on this channel or anywhere, to be entirely honest. We do not promote alcoholism.
Yeah, I did I just had the thought. I'm like, I really hope no one's doing that, because
for the love of God, do not do that.
We don't want to be liable for your death. So Riley's goal against the Jets, which was just an amazing passing display from Sydney FC. That entire, you know, front three getting involved, just weaving their way around that Newcastle defense, doing really, really well. So moving on now, we had the goal of the season in the Premiership, and I remember we made the decision that we were just going to show the top three, and then we looked at the votes, and it was a three-way tie for second.
It was, You guys don't making our job for us.
No. Okay.
Please do that next time.
Next time, Make sure when you vote and you can't see the answers, still make sure your votes go to one first place, one second place, one third place. All right? You got it?
Good. Yeah, please.
So, this saw, I'm just going to go through all three names quickly for the second place, and we'll go through each goal afterwards. We had Dimitri Diolio Davis against Hills United. We had Abdullah Karim versus Sydney FC. His second goal in that game, I had to mark it because we put both of his goals in that game down because they were both absolutely amazing. And we also had Asim Soddy's goal against the Western Sydney Wanderers in the first round. So Dimitri's goal, I think we'll talk about that first, as that was the one we presented first. What an amazing team play there. I think I think a lot of people noticed it in the video was that, like, because the presentation was dragging with this video is so long because somebody decided.
Dimitri's one.
Yeah, Dimitri's goal.
The way I make clips of all the goals is I try to start it from the beginning of the passage of play so that you get the build up to the goal. You just don't want to see some guy shooting and it going in. You want to see how the team actually builds towards the goal. Unfortunately, that gets to the point sometimes where there's like 15 passes or like a one-on-one tussle for like 15-20 seconds, and it's like, oh great, okay. Fortunately, those goals are few and far between. Unfortunately, this happened to be one. I will review that for next year. I mean, I think it works for the YouTube side of things to start it with the passage of play, but maybe for like highlights and stuff, clipping, like shortening it down, I guess, or trying to shorten it down.
So, yeah, regardless though, an amazing goal, an amazing shot that was just able to get through your Hills defense, Matt. I just thought I'd love to rub it in there. And yeah, to go on to another little weird glitch that happened with the presentation, when we sort of did the formatting for the videos, the thumbnail stayed the same for all of them, and, I cut it out of the main thing because it just didn't fit, but Matt pointed out this to me. Yeah, all of them say Dimitri against Hills, but then you click play on the video as
it actually shows the right one.
It shows the correct goal. And the second goal is Abdullah Karim's amazing goal against Sydney FC. Just a long range effort that is just unable to get there by Chris Arfielding goals behind Josh Ryan. I remember I was talking to Josh later that night about that goal, and he was just like, you know, everyone was just, you know, we didn't know how to stop him. It was too much. And, you know, he just couldn't get there in time. It's an amazing goal that I honestly thought had a contention to win it. So, you know, seeing it get second is definitely a fair assessment. And moving on to the final goal that got second place was Asim Soddy's goal against my Western Sydney Wanderers. Now, Matt, there is a moment tied to this goal, and I think you know the exact moment that I'm talking about.
There is a bit of a moment that coincides with this goal.
Thank God the
sound didn't work.
I would argue a moment that transcends the goal itself, and Asim's goal doesn't really matter, and that what happened above it is what's more important. And what's more important was your dad's celebration, Matt. That was maybe the best thing I've ever seen while on a football court. Like, to concede a goal and see a fully grown man in starfish is the funniest thing.
The starfish pose, yeah.
Oh, man. Like, it's hard to be cheered up when you concede a goal, but to see the James Mallows just full starfish mode in sheer surprise, it was very funny. So, yeah, is there anything else you'd like to add on Asim's goal or the starfish?
Please, if you guys want to see my dad celebrate more, please, yeah, feel free to concede more goals. I don't mind.
Yeah,
I'm certainly not going to complain.
Yeah, okay, that's a nice invitation. The player who won the goal of the season for the Premiership, this also went to Joshua Ryan. This was an amazing set piece goal, which, you know, when we interviewed him, he was like, I don't remember this goal. He didn't even clock it, which just shows the sort of the amount of goals he's scoring. But, you know, this was just a really clever set piece from him. What are your thoughts, Matt?
It was smart. It was quite funny, I'm not gonna lie. Just seeing him go like, oh, it's coming straight back to me, I'm just gonna hit it again and see what happens. Went straight between them. It's quite a good goal. There was a little bit of luck involved, the way it fell back to him perfectly as he was spinning through, and he's just like, oh,
I'll just keep going.
Nice, and spun through it straight again, and put it straight between them. Was yeah, quite funny, and it was quite a good bit of skill just to be like, all right, I'm just gonna smack it again.
Yeah,
because like you miss all the shots you don't take, so
definitely. Yeah, we're going to, you know, sticking on the theme of the Wanderers, we're going to move on to the games of the season. Starting off in the Championship, we had the Wanderers 2-1 defeat of Football St George in Round 8.
You guys had a lot of really good games against each other throughout the year, to be honest. Because you had that one, all draw earlier in the year. And then, yeah, Round 8, I think this was... when you won 2-1. So you guys were pretty neck and neck for a good portion. And I think that game encapsulates, you know, how close it was between you guys for that third spot on the ladder.
Yeah, this was the game that Remeth scored 2 within like 6 minutes. And just, I remember feeling how, you know, because this was only early on in the season. I was like, okay, yeah, I saw a lot of potential in Remeth, and seeing him do that, I got, you know, really excited about what we could do with that. So that's what I found on that game. A game that got second in the Championship for game of the season was Sydney FC's 7-0 defeat of the Western Sydney Wanderers, which, you know, I will say that was the first game, I believe, that I didn't play in the Championship, maybe the second. It was around there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was definitely a Sydney side that was on the cusp of winning the competition. So they just went out guns blazing, and you can see it. You know, they absolutely thrashed the Wanderers in that result. And fair play to them.
It was a Football for All Gala Day as well, I think.
Of course. And see, the thing that annoys me is that as a person who does the videos, the more goals that are scored, the more effort I have to put into doing the video. So I love a nil-all draw, man, because it's easy. So when I watch a game from the sidelines and Sydney is 7-0 up, not only am I annoyed as a teammate, I'm annoyed as the guy who does the YouTube videos. A very good game from Sydney regardless. I think we should not be discrediting what this achievement was, and Sydney would still win the game of the season. That time, the 3-2 defeat against Hills United in round 4. Again, I don't remember absolutely everything about this match, but from what I do remember, it was a thriller. Obviously, the teams who got first and second in the tournament at the end of the year. Matt, is there anything you can remember about this match that you want to bring up?
It was a very, very close game, very strong game. I mean, like you said, these two teams were more or less neck and neck throughout the whole year. It was a win each and then two draws, I think.
Mm.
So, yeah, neck and neck throughout the whole year. Yeah, I'm hoping it'll be another close year next year. Hopefully we can go one step higher than second, but I mean, that we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. And I think, you know, it's always a competitive year, obviously, and I think, you know, the same cannot necessarily be said about the Premiership. Moving on to those games of the season, where Newcastle won by a fair few points in the league. It wasn't as much as last year, which was good, you know, like seeing that, you know, competition get better. And in a tied second place, we had the 3-3 draw between the Western Sydney Wanderers and Football St George. That was a game. I actually do remember this one because it haunts me. And the reason it haunts me, Matt, I don't know if you remember this. The goal that was scored on the whistle, basically, in the 41st, 42nd minute was me not being on my post properly because the game was moving.
Always got to be on your post, don't you?
Yep, because the game was moving so fast that I wasn't sure if it was a sideline or a corner, and that meant that my decision-making was down. I didn't move in time. And Abs does what Abs does and scores past me on the near post from a sideline.
Yep.
And 3-3, and honestly, fair play. What can you say?
It was the last kick of the game as well, I believe. Because that game, it was 1-0 at halftime to St George. There were 5 goals in the second half.
Yeah.
Was it? I don't remember who. One of the two teams was up 1-0 at halftime. I'm pretty sure it was St George. There was 5 goals in the second half.
Yeah. And then
it was an absolutely wild game.
So we move on to an almost identical game because it's the same opponents in the Western Sydney Wanderers and Football St George. However, this time it's the Wanderers' 2-1 win over Football St George in round 15. Now, I also remember this game. This game was also defined by one of the last kicks of the game with Steve Webb scoring from a sideline as well, funnily enough, now that I say it, back-to-back.
Yeah.
One opinion, one thought I've had about these two games being tied for second place is that, like, I think both of these games could have been game of the season, but because they were both there, it didn't win. If one of them was there, I think it could have beaten our first place winner. What are your thoughts on that take?
There were so many close games throughout the year. So many. And a lot of your games between St. George were all decided with the last kicks of the game, which was kind of funny.
Oh, yeah. It's always St. George are one of my favorite opponents to play against because it's just such a, you know, intense, you know, affair. And it's always fun playing against that lot. You know, moving on to the winners of the game of the season in the Premiership. We've already touched on it a fair bit, but we're going to touch on it a little bit more. It's the round 6 defeat that Sydney FC held over the Newcastle Jets, 2-1 the result. Obviously, we touched on the 18-month unbeaten streak that Newcastle went on, but, you know, once again, it is absolutely, you know, amazing achievement for Sydney FC to do this.
Well, they did it twice this year.
They did do it twice. One time when I was off in Paris, so I missed the second one. But it was obviously amazing for them. And I remember when we were presenting this, we had Josh come up and he invited Jason, his dad, up and his coach, whatever, to do a speech. And it was very funny because Jason was not expecting it in the slightest. But, yeah, he did very well in his speech and, you know, obviously in the result for Sydney FC. So, congratulations to those guys. And that would be our last award of the night that we presented, at least. We'll touch on some of the other awards in just a moment. But before we do that, we had a little extras slide at the end of the presentation. This was one of my favorite ideas that I had because, you know, in every interview that I ever do for the podcast, I always go, oh, is there anything else you'd like to add? Usually just to prompt people to, I don't know, make a joke, do something stupid, whatever they want. It's up to them. But, you know, in this case, I was like, I want to see if people are going to make a little joke on this form that is otherwise very, you know, normal and serious. And, you know, there were a few. So we highlighted 4 such funny stuffs on there, including Go Linsman Blake Jackson for PM 2028.
Yeah, who spelled that incorrectly? Do you know who that was?
Yeah, that was Riley, because I was on a Discord call with him while I did that. And I then berated him for his poor spelling.
Lindsman Blake.
Yeah. And we had Jackson for PM 2028 and Jackson for president, which was a...
I was PM for 2028. I put that one down.
Yeah.
Look, not to toot our own horns or anything, but two of the four we put on this slide were me and you, all right? They were us.
Okay, look.
I don't know who did Jackson for president.
I don't know either. That's the only one I don't know who did. So I did write Matt as a better host, to be honest. Now, there is a story behind this. This is not just me dunking on myself. The story goes is that at the end of last year's awards, is there anything else you'd like to add? Someone else said that. I still haven't worked out who said that. And then I was showing Matt the old responses when we were starting to work on the awards. And when we were testing that they worked and that we could vote on them, I was like, well, I'm going to have to show Matt what was written. So I put in Matt is a better host. And then I thought, hang on, this is funny. So I put it in the extras bit there. And even though, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm tooting my own horn, we were both pretty funny.
Were we? I apparently were. Mike Suffield called us the two old Muppets.
Statler and Waldorf.
Statler and Waldorf.
What is this? I don't like
which one are, which
I don't know enough.
Which one are you?
I don't know what differentiates the two of them, so I can't say.
Okay, well, I don't know. One of them looks like Albert Einstein and one of the other has a butt chin. Do you have a butt chin? I don't have a butt chin.
I have a lot of chins, if that means anything.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and you're, not in that regard.
And but... you're, smart because you, do science-y stuff.
Do you have a monobrow?
Not the last time I checked.
Which one's which? Yeah. Tell us which one's which.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know...
Because I don't know.
If I don't get a message or anything telling us which one is which on the Powered by Football account on Instagram, I will be very sad. So please hit us up, Powered by Football Pod on Instagram, Powered by Pod on Twitter, Powered by Football Podcast on Facebook. You know where to find us. And after the extras, we had our little concluding slide, and I thought, you know, while we conclude the presentation and we conclude this episode of the Powered by Football Podcast, Matt, would you want to go over some other highlights that we had throughout the night that weren't in our presentation?
So, first of all, I'd like to say, I don't know if any of you guys watched Sunrise on Thursday morning, but Sydney FC were on there, specifically the Sydney FC Power Chair team. I believe Josh and
Jason
Ryan were interviewed, and I'm... unfortunately was not free to go down there, but it looked like it all went very well, and hopefully some good things come out of that.
Well, yeah, we're always trying to get more eyes on the sport, so stuff like that is, you know, absolutely amazing to see, and I think they both spoke incredibly well, thanks to training given to them by the Powered by Football Podcast.
I don't know if we gave them much training to do that. But
I've interviewed Josh three times. That's enough training.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, I now have the winners up. So
yeah.
The championship awards we'll start off with. So most clean sheets was Cody Town from Sydney FC.
How many was that?
It was 12. That was 12. And then most assists was 18 assists. That was George Tiong, also from Sydney FC. And then we had, and then for the Golden Guard on 28 goals was Riley Brown. So no one's real surprise there. And then for most valuable player for the championship, we had Lachlan Ninham from Hills United, which was good to see.
I believe
from my point of view,
I believe I got third in that, and I was so surprised.
I think you did.
Yeah, I did not see it coming. I thought I had an okay season. I was, you know, I think I did all right for Wanderers, but I wouldn't have said I was the third best player in the league. I definitely thought there was at least half a dozen I would have put above me.
you got the votes. I believe, so from memory, I believe it was the referees did a 3-2-1 vote.
And
that's how that was decided.
We also had the Premiership Awards being given out. So did you want to go through those, Matt?
Yep. So most clean sheets was Ryan Seck with 12. Well, we had the same person win most assists and Golden Guard. So that was Abdullah Karim, who unfortunately was not at the presentation dinner. But he was, yeah, most assists and most goals with 11 assists and 13 goals. And he also drew with Chris Suffield for most valuable player. They were both very, very good this year.
Yeah, yeah. We also had another thing like from the night that I thought we should touch on.
Yes, I was going to touch on that as well.
The award given to Byron. I don't know what the exact name of the award that they gave him was.
So Byron goes out of his time, you know, takes time out of his weekend to essentially come and do the stats for us and run the scoreboard for us and do a bunch of other stuff for us. So thank you very much to him. And he's done that for many, many years.
Yeah, that was 9 years, I believe, they said, when
they gave him. Yeah, a very, very long time.
The award, so good to him. Was that what you were going to bring up, or was it something else?
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to bring up. Yes, yes. Yeah, awesome. That was the other award that was given out.
We are so in sync. We're so in tune, Matt. This is this is why we're hosting the podcast together now.
Yep. Yep.
So that was every award that was given out, I believe. Is there any other...
Yeah, I mean, special recognition to the respective winners of each grade, Sydney FC for the championship and Newcastle Jets for the premiership. Congrats to those guys again. Jets, let someone else win it next year. Yeah, thank you. That'd be great. I can't think of anything else that we missed from the evening.
No, I think we have covered pretty much everything. I think it was, you know, I did have a really good night myself. It's always fun those nights, just getting to see everybody and hang out for a bit. So, you know, yep. I think it was quite a bit of fun, and I always love presenting those awards. And until next year's presentation, you know, that's about it from the awards show at least. But, you know, we'll still be hanging around throughout the off season every now and then. There's no set schedule per se, but plans are in the works to have episodes every now and then. So keep an ear out.
I imagine we'll probably be covering the summer comp, won't we?
Of course, yeah, summer comp's coming up.
So, soon. Yes, and please, please register if you haven't registered for that. There's also a Power Check Gala weekend in Canberra.
Oh, yeah, Canberra's coming up as well. We've also got the APO coming up in October, which, whilst I, look, I'm still hoping to go, it's not 100% confirmed yet, but you're booked in.
Yep, I will be there with a bit of luck commentating. With our esteemed friend from Brisbane, who is a friend of our Powered by Football podcast, in Tom Byrne.
Yes, one of my personal favorite episodes.
Yep. If you've watched, any of the broadcasts for Powered by Football from the past two club championships, you would have definitely heard Tom's voice, and you probably would have heard mine. And yours, probably, yep. I finally convinced Jackson here to actually get into the commentary booth, and I believe he did the third place game this year, because me and Tom did the final.
Because who would like to do the final? We've done the last
two finals, I think. I want to
try and convince him to let me do the final next year. I really want to do a final.
Well, I mean, if you're playing in the final, you can't do the final.
Well, the year before, like, when the Wanderers won it, like, I said to him, I'm like, on finals day, I will do a lot of commentary and stuff. And then we somehow got into the final, and then I'm like, hey, man, like, coaches said, I'm so sorry, we're good. I have to, like, you know, focus on the team and stuff. And then we won it. And then I went to Paris and, like, played and stuff.
You did. You did.
So, you know, that kind of went well. I was kind of happy with that one,
yeah.
Even though I didn't get to commentate.
So, yeah, for APO, there are four teams coming across. We've got Australia, obviously. Then New Zealand, Japan, and South Korea are sending a team. Nobody has ever seen South Korea play before. So that should be interesting.
Watch them come over, and they're, like, better than France.
Yeah, look.
It would be funny.
South Korea take a lot of things very seriously. If you ever watched them play esports, they just wreck everyone. So they will be very competitive. Take them lightly at your peril, basically.
Yeah, they're definitely ones to watch out for in the upcoming APO. Yeah, I guess that's all the sort of news and the buzz going on around Powerchair Football in our sort of sphere, our sort of bubble at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're going to hear from us at some point. Don't know exactly when, but until then, we will see you later because it'll be me and Matt now. So welcome to the podcast officially, Matt, by the way. I didn't really welcome you at the start.
Thank you. Thank you.
But yeah, that's the end of the Powered by Football Awards recap for 2025. Thank you all so much for listening. And let's get into the show notes. You can get involved in Powerchair Football here in New South Wales as an athlete, coach, referee, or volunteer by visiting the New South Wales Powerchair Football Association website, linked in the show notes. Our season takes place in Glenwood at the Valentine Sports Park from the 15th of February 2025 to the 12th of July 2025 every Saturday. Contact info at nswpfa.org.au for more information. Just a quick note that the views of this podcast are mine and mine alone. The opinions and thoughts expressed do not necessarily reflect those of the NSWPFA. If you want to get in touch with the podcast, you can follow us at Powered by Football Pod on Instagram, join our Facebook group, Powered by Football Podcast, or follow our Twitter account, Powered by Pod. Thanks for listening.